Throughout American history, there have been many moments of powerful social protest that lead to change. In most of them, there was a song that unified the emotions and illuminated the goals of those protesters. "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land" by Woody Guthrie is perhaps the perfect example. In the midst of the current social unrest, focusing on Black Lives Matter, there seems to be an almost eerie absence of singing at protests, rallies, and marches. There is no single song that stirs the crowd and expresses the emotional tone of the protests. Chants and slogans are there, but a unifying song is not. Sarah Craig, the executive director of Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs, tells a revealing story about her participation at the recent Troy protest that drew 11,000 people. She tells of listening to a creative speaker who was doing an excellent job rousing the people. He was using a call-and-response method of involving the crowd. She explained how he would shout out familiar slogans, and the crowd would shout it back, providing energy tinged with a touch of anger. She then tells how she tried to lead the group in the chorus of "We Shall Overcome" and says, "A few of us sang with fervor, but the majority stayed quiet. It was like only a dozen of us knew the words." She laughs, and she says even the speaker commented, saying, "Looks like we only have a few older folks with us today." Her experience supports a comment made by Mike Eck, a local folk musician, writer, critic, and music historian. He says, "Any song that comes out of this movement should be created by a young songwriter." He hastens to clarify, saying, "Older people are welcome and needed in any movement, but it's the young who must lead in both spirit and in song." Margie Rosenkrantz, the executive director of the 8-Step Coffee House that is housed in Proctor's in Schenectady, agrees. She's of the opinion that there are songwriters who today are capable of writing a unifying song. But she believes that music will not come from the established songwriting community. That person has to have a complete and total emotional connection to the issues, and yet have the artistic ability to step outside personal involvement and write a song that is completely understandable by all. She adds, the person will probably be someone from the streets. No one suggests that the songs protesting social injustice aren't being written, nor do they imply the genre is specific to the folk community. They point to "American Idiot" by the rock powerhouse Green Day and "Fight the Power" by the rap group Public Enemy as songs that speak clearly to the abuse of power over the powerless, but neither have become national anthems. X says writing a song or revealing the truth or offering insight about a social issue is not enough. Too many songs are just angry. They don't unite, he says. For a song to be unifying, he feels the melody should be familiar. To make his point, he explains that many of the great protest songs are essentially historic folk tunes or gospel songs to which contemporary lyrics have been added. His prime examples are Guthrie's "This Land Is My Land" and Pete Seeger's rewriting the lyrics to the spiritual "We Shall Overcome." Rosenkrantz supports that theory using the term collective memory. She says we need new voices that can somehow connect us to the past. She says there are things that connect the civil rights movement of the 1960s to the protests of today. She also argues that the protests against the Vietnam War were connected to the civil rights movement. The present is different. It always is, but the things that unite us remain the same. When a universally accepted song is created, it will connect the past to the present. Craig, too, believes in the younger generation providing the voices that define the present to lead us into the future. Their Cafe Lean or School for Music has been so successful, especially with youngsters, they are now adding songwriting courses for adults and younger people. The initial emphasis is songs on the civil rights movement. There is a thirst to communicate through music, she says. Eck is a great enthusiast for music being a tool to understand history. He wonders if the complexity and the distracting large number of issues we deal with on a daily basis could be part of the reason there is no single song with which to identify. Rosenkrantz refers to it as collective isolation. Craig sees the challenge as so many diverse voices trying to be heard at the same time. If there is an answer as to why there is no unifying song or when one will be written, perhaps the answer is it will happen when we start to really listen to each other and find a common ground within all our problems. This is Bob Geffert from the Troy Record.